All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts, local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is Tuesday, April the 27th, 2021. Beautiful day outside today. Pretty excited. Actually, I'm not really excited, but I'm thankful. I like when the weather gets better. It'll be, I think someone said it's supposed to be like 90 in a couple days. That's just how it happens. It's like kind of chilly. Fire falls from the sky. But whatever. It'll all work out. So what'd you guys think about that band? I don't know if anybody checked out that podcast I did, Half Moon Run. I'm absolutely smitten this band right now. Just really just digging the band. So I just did that little podcast and shine a little light on them. You know, my life isn't just recovery. I guess the point of that is, you know, sometimes I do this podcast and I feel like I'm just focusing on being ill or not doing well. And for the most part, I have a great life, you know. Really grateful for, you know, I've said this before, I'm grateful I was an alcoholic, or I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm grateful I had to force myself to kind of take a look at this and do work. You know, I'm grateful I drank. People go, oh my God. Well, fuck, I want to get to a place in my life where I'm at some, have some peace. You know, I spent a huge portion of my life appearing like I'm doing better, but inside not doing better. And that was kind of how my trip into sobriety was in the beginning. You know, I wanted to appear like I was doing better. And I didn't even realize it. Couldn't have planned it. You know, it would be another thing, another character defect of mine that would be exposed through this program. You kind of go into a program and then all the shit gets exposed. And you're like, well, shit, I didn't come here for all that. And some of it's kind of exposed privately. You know, you're like sitting down one day and you're like, gosh, I didn't realize that happens, or I didn't realize how much that affects me, or I didn't realize how much that plays a role, or I didn't know I even behaved like that. And, you know, but silence is a very powerful thing. And, you know, it leaves me to think by myself, and it can be pretty messy. So just the journey and learning, and you know, one great example, and I've, you know, this is not a step podcast. This isn't, I don't know what kind of podcast this is, but you know, it's do the steps, get a great sponsor, work with the sponsor, do the steps, work through the steps with the sponsor and experience them, and then do it again. You know, they say, you should only need to do this one time. Well, maybe. But I can tell just the one time, the first time I did it, compared to the second time that I did it, it was two different people. It was like I went through the first set of steps with the sponsor with the lights off. And then doing that allowed me to turn the lights on. And then I was able to go through the steps again with the lights on. You know, and then this third time you go through the steps, you got the lights on with the window open. You know, you keep exposing more and more. And the steps stay the same, right? It's the same 12 steps, same information. I'm growing, or maybe my ego is shrinking. I don't know. But one of the big, interesting steps is the fourth step. What does it say? Made a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. Is that it? I'm pretty sure it's something like that. Let's see. Fourth step. Doo-doo-doo. Fourth step. Scott's four-step. Scott's four-step program. Oh, no, that's actually a... I thought somebody actually created a program. And had it called the four, and I'll had four steps. Actually, that's Scott's fertilizer. All right, the purpose. Oh, here we go. Where is it? Yeah. Set for make a moral inventory. Make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That is, you know, if you walk in and you know you're working on sobriety and you're hanging out and doing everything you're supposed to do, and you know there'll be slowly start to hear a little buzz around the room, like, you know, have you done your four step? Have you done your four step yet? It's like this scary, you know, it's like being invited somewhere and then on the way there, someone telling you how shitty or awful or what an awful experience it's going to be. So then you show up and you're like all expecting, you know, some awful experience, and then you end up having a great time. You know, what's a couple of lessons maybe learned in there? One, don't listen to people. You know, and keep an open mind. And two, I wasted a lot of time worrying about something that wasn't even true. Two lessons that I would learn in this program, trying to learn other lessons, right? That would be like turning the lights on and maybe opening a window. Don't pay attention to people, you know, live my own journey, stay in my square, focus on me, and have an open mind. And the first time I did the four step with my Mike R., my first sponsor, you know, I went through it, you know, the list. Well, the first attempt was with a friend of mine, Scott, and he is, you know, he's a great guy. He is a little, you know, he's wound a little tight. You know, he comes from this north, you know, the Southern California or Northern California group. I forget what it is. I mean, who gives a fuck, right? Group you come from, but it was very important to him to remind me that I come from this group and this is how we do it. And you know, I had to have this special notebook and it had to be a certain color and I had to have a pencil. And at the time I was like, you know what, man, I think I'd rather just be friends. I don't need this. Or I just don't need this strict regimen. And he's like, no problem. And you know, you look back at it and he was absolutely right. I think it was a little extreme for the moment, for me at least, but he was absolutely right. It was about humility. You know, what he was saying is you need to find some humility, you need to follow directions, and you need to go to every length that you need to go to get this program. And if that means you, you know, pick the, you know, you get the correct color notebook and a correct color pencil, then that's what it is. And you know, and of course I came with the wrong notebook, wrong pencil. He's like, you don't want to make these small changes or these, you know, follow these small directions and you want to get sober and you think you're going to move forward and follow other directions and you can't even follow these two small ones. I was like, yeah, dude, you need to chill out. But he was right, you know, and that's it. Thank you, Scott. You know, that, you know, we didn't end up doing a four step, but I would start to understand that, you know, this is about doing what I'm asked. You know, if you want to fight and push and kick and scream around every corner, you're going to have a fucking rough road. And it didn't work out that at that time because I just didn't quite understand. If I had understood, I probably would have followed directions perfectly, not because it was about humility, because I wanted to probably be liked. So even I can fuck up even specific directions. But, you know, so we didn't end up doing the four step. And then I got my first real sponsor, Mike R., and we did the four step and went through all the list and the people. And, you know, I was coming, I think my angle, because, you know, even though I'm sober, right, even though I'm free from drinking, I'm still a freaking mess. And now it's about liking me. It's about approval. It's about doing well. Like, I want to get a 100 on this four step. And if anybody knows about a four step, there isn't a 100. You can't get an A+ on a four step. There's a lot of room in there to think about it. But I remember we did the four step and I had the list. And, you know, I remember the example, and I was so consumed by doing such a great job that I missed the whole point. You know, I think for me, at this point in my life, each step has taught me something. I can refer to each step and find something that I've learned. You know, we talk about, we admitted we were powerless. We admitted the first humble thing I probably did was admit and, you know, hook up with a group and start understanding I can't do this by myself and start people rely on me and I rely on people and it just makes it a little more pleasant. You know, the relationship with the higher power, it's not the outcome, it's the attempt. It's understanding not, I don't, for me, I'm not sure it's understanding that there is a higher power. It's just for me to understand that I'm not it and I will act like one. You know? So you're going every step I can refer back to and find something that I learned now. But before, I was just wanting to get an A+. I just wanted to get a 100 on the 12 steps of AA. So doing that first 4-step, I had it all printed, you know, it was beautiful. But I, you know, like I said, I was confused, I was misguided, and I was struggling. So, you know, whether that was the reason or it was several reasons, but eventually I would go back out and enjoy some alcohol, right? And the second time when I came back into the program, you know, I went away to that rehab up in New York, Pennsylvania. The lady told me I was still full of shit. I was like, I can't believe she said that. Can't believe it. And I came back here and I reached out to my buddy Matt and I said, listen, I need a sponsor. And he says, well, I tell you what, call me every day and we'll see what happens. And that would be the beginning of something great. And it had nothing to do with sobriety. It had nothing to do with anything. I came at it. I wanted it. And the way that he presented it was in a way that I was able to kind of understand. And I remember the first time we did the 4-step and he goes, all right, let's look at this, you know, example. I was like, okay. You know, Mr. Jones. I hate Mr. Jones or whatever it is. I probably screw it up. But it's, you know, basically I hate Mr. Jones. And I was like, yeah, well, I get that. And he goes, no, that's fine. But let's figure it, you know, and it shows in the example why he hates Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones has a prettier wife. Mr. Jones has a better car. Mr. Jones has a better job. Mr. Jones has a better house. The first time that I read that, I was like, wow, you know, I didn't pay any attention to that. But when I started trying to, when I did my 4-step with Matt, he was like, you know, it's very simple. It's usually, you know, if I have a problem and it's driving me to drink, it's usually something that I have an issue with. It's a little complicated. I mean, it's not complicated. It's a little, you know, the funniest, a good example was, and I've shared this before when I was in that business with that, my wife and I, you know, we got involved in a business and it went bad and we lost some money and my wife's like, I hate that person. And I'm like, and I get that. I mean, I'm that way. I mean, I'm not that way today, but I remember before getting sober, I would hate people. And what Matt showed me was, listen, that's fine if you want to hate them, but figure out, you know, at least list the reasons, right? And so I remember, you know, when I went through that, I hated this person. And I was like, well, you have to remember, Tom, you were trying, you know, this was a quick money grab. You know, if everything had gone well, you'd have made a lot of money. So greed was involved, ego, you know, all the danger, right? I played a big role. And sometimes when I say, I hate this person, it's a way to kind of camouflage my part. And some people like to do that. I personally, I would rather figure it out. And that's kind of what, when I started working with Matt, he started showing me that I could figure this stuff out. And the biggest part was figure the role that I play in this whole thing, in this whole mess, right? And it's tough. It is tough. It is very tough.
Just letting go. It's just the reason I needed to leave. comes is no surprise. It's like, oh, and I just don't know what you're doing wrong. And I can feel it easy. My friends don't know the half, they just listen. I'm at a loss cause I'm living it. It's not to say that I'm giving it. It's just that this is how it's always been. And it comes as no surprise. It's like, oh, and I just don't know what you're doing wrong.
I think the when I first time, and if I'm sounding a little like I'm rambling, because it's a little bit of a tough, it's tough for me for some reason to explain this, and it's not that complicated. I just know why I'm struggling a little bit, but let me see if I can try to do a little bit better. The first time that I did the fourth step, I was so concerned with finding the people, the apology, you know, making the amends. It's, you know, fourth step, you create the list. The fifth step, you kind of make the amends and clean it up. But the fourth step was really about finding every person. You know, I got to find everybody. Like, there was some weird task in my head. Like, if I didn't find every person that I had upset or harmed or, you know, that I wasn't going to be successful. And what would turn out would be that for me, everybody, you know, unfortunately, that's what I would focus on, and I would miss the whole point, right? And the whole point being, and this I would learn the second time I did the fourth step, and I tell you, when I did it with Matt, I made like three examples on a fourth step. He goes, that's fine. It's good. You know, it's not for me, for him, for us at that time. It wasn't about how many people I can list up. It's understanding why I'm upset at them. And understanding what part I played, right? You know, if I don't like somebody, you know, 20 years ago, I just didn't like them. But if I have a problem with somebody today, I'm first of all, I'm figuring out why. You know, it's usually something in that list, like Mr. Jones. It's usually money, success, better car, better house, blah, 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 blah. And then it's about me ditching school, not going to college, not participating like most of the adults, me drinking, drugging, pulling my ass out of the swamp in 97, I guess, and understanding that if that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for my parents, and banging along and finally getting to this point. You know, I played a role in a lot of this. You know, there's a reason why I don't have a great job. I didn't go to college. I barely finished high school. I can't behave that way. I can't not commit to something. I can't barely scrape by and then stand at the end of the whole, you know, the trail with my hands on my side going, "What? How come I'm not successful?" Right? You know, I talk to people who don't like their job, or they make fun of my job. Especially family. I don't know what it is about family, but family always has to look down their nose or have like an opinion about my job. And I'm a hairdresser, but I have freedom, and I've worked hard in the beginning, and I've figured out how to open my own salon, and you know, I have a little freedom in my day and in my life. Oh my gosh, people don't like that, right? Well, you have a better job. I go, no, you, meaning whoever's talking shit to me, made your choices, and I made mine, right? You know, I didn't want to be, I didn't need to be the richest person. I wanted to find a job that I enjoy. And I enjoy cutting people's hair. It's fun. I mean, I wouldn't say it's fun, but, you know, it's chatty. The mask have made it pretty shitty, but my point is, if you don't like my job, then take a look at yourself. Don't look at me. You know, if you got to go to a job and work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 every day, and I have a job where I work 3 days a week, and some days I have a part of the day off, and I'm podcasting, and yeah, I'm Mr. Jones all of a sudden. And I'm like, don't get mad at me because I've made my choices. Look at yourself. Take a look at yourself and figure out what part you played. Right? It's like, you know, the hot topic right now is Bitcoin. I don't care about Bitcoin. Fuck Bitcoin. But my son's like, we should buy some Bitcoin. You know, and buy Bitcoin. It's making money. You know, but I would be buying it late. You know, I want to be, you know, a friend of mine, he bought Bitcoin way back when, and he's got, you know, it's evolved into like, I don't know, quite a bit of money. Fuck him. No, I don't have that because I didn't choose to buy Bitcoin, you know, 5 years ago. That's why. You know, why could I be, you know, I think that was what was so important for me. The biggest gift of the fourth step was really being able to take my own inventory, finding out what role I played in it, clean it up, let it go, moving on. You know, my buddy Matt used to say, you get 5 minutes. And I'd be like, you know, what do you mean? You got 5 minutes being a victim. And then after that, you get to fucking find the part you played in and move on. You know, my wife, something was going on with my wife, and I told her, I go, you got 5 minutes of to be upset about this, and then we're moving on. We're not dragging this around like some stupid anchor. Figure out the part you played, clean it up, boohoo about it for 5 or 10 minutes, and then we're moving on. And last night we were watching The West Wing, and there's this part where, I don't know, if anybody watched The West Wing, there's an episode where the president gets shot by an assassin. And, you know, in the shooting, a bunch of people get shot, and Toby, the speechwriter, you know, he's pissed. He's pissed off. And, you know, he wants to start a revolution against the, you know, white supremacists and whoever it was that responsible. And the president goes, you got 15 minutes, and then we need to get up off the mat and move past this, you know? And that's how I feel, and that's what this fourth step has taught me, which was, you know, what part did I play? And, you know, maybe I screwed up 5 minutes ago. Maybe I screwed up 5 days ago. Maybe I screwed up 5 years ago. Maybe I screwed up, you know, 25 years ago. There's no, for me at least, when trying to figure out what part I played and becoming accountable, there is really no distance that is too far for me to go back to try to figure it out. Now, I'm not going to go back 25 years and go have a pity party about something. But I can look back when I was 17, I decided I would choose marijuana, girls and alcohol, than I would over school. And in turn, I would suffer. And that I would drag that kind of lifestyle into my first year of college where I was kicked out. I made my choices, and I have to live with them. So if I look at somebody with some great job and making a killing and great money and, you know, has the life of that everybody wants, I cannot be mad at them. And honestly, I'm not even mad at myself. I know what I did. I'm okay with it. And that, to me, is one of the great things about the fourth step. And I do it, you know, I basically do almost a fourth step on everything. If there's any sort of confusion or wonder, I kind of fourth step it. You know, what's upsetting me? You know, traffic. What's upsetting me about traffic? I can't get to where I want to get to it fast enough. I'm inconvenienced. Okay. That makes sense. People say, I fucking hate traffic. Do you hate traffic or do you hate the fact that you, once again, did not plan for traffic, left on time or left, you know, when you would usually leave and now you're running late when in turn you knew, I knew, there was going to be traffic? So hopefully the next time you look back and you say, hey, I remember the last time there was traffic and I decided to leave when I usually left and I in turn was very annoyed. Maybe I will leave earlier this time. Peace and serenity. All right, let me see if I can find a daily reflections. I hope any of that made sense. If not, I'll try again tomorrow. It is a work in progress. Daily, where is it? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I see what's going on here. Does any of this make sense? Does anybody out there find the same appreciation for the fourth step? You know, the big thing about the fourth step, and I wasn't sure I would even want to really talk about it. I mean, you really have to be digging the first three steps quite a bit. You know, you have to... I needed to really understand about humility, how self-centered I was, and continue to be. The relationship with the higher power, not that it needs to be a great relationship, but that I'm willing to have it. Not that it's about what can I get out of the relationship, but I'm willing to try. That's what's more important. The attempt, not the outcome. Having a relationship and doing it rightly, it's pretty important. You know, if you're in it to win it, you know, you're probably... you know, you're probably going to get disappointed. You're not. All right, here we go. Daily Reflections, April 27th, Joyful Discoveries. Let's see if I can read this. All right, here we go. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come. If your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got, see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for all of us. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. Sobriety is a journey of joyful discovery. Each day brings new experience, awareness, greater hope, deeper faith, and broader tolerance. I must maintain these attributes or I will have nothing to pass on. Great events for this recovering alcoholic are the normal everyday joys found in being able to live another day in God's grace. There you go. It's nice. You know, today, you know, what will I work on? Just, you know, being accountable. You know, being accountable and, you know, not be a victim. I'm struggling lately. I've been very annoyed lately. I've been very victim-y. You know, whether it's traffic or, you know, business or corona. Very victim-y. Very critical. I talked about the other day when I had to take my kids over to Bridgeville or wherever it was, and I was very annoyed by traffic, and I'm thinking, why are you so annoyed by traffic? And it's simple as just the inconvenience, but I'm still, why? You have forgotten everything, you know, the zero gratitude for the fact you even have a car, you know, zero gratitude or recognizing the gratitude of the fact that I even have kids that want to have anything to do with me, completely forgetting the fact that other parents are trusting me to drive their kids. None of that matters. All that matters is traffic. And, you know, I got to be better. I got to be better because what happens is I just exist in a miserable state. Oh, yeah.